Mormonism 101 for Teens is a valuable resource for anyone wanting a simplified view of the Mormon religion from a Christian perspective. Mormonism 101 for Teens is available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City or mrm.org. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
What do you do when you do not want your spouse for eternity? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. That's the title of an article that is found on learnreligions.com. What to do when you do not want your spouse for eternity. And first of all, I want to give a little hat tip to our good friend Shane Jones from Tri-Grace Ministries in Ephraim, Utah, for the link to this article. And as I was looking it over, Eric, I was just amazed at some of the things that I was reading here. Now, a lot of it wasn't new. There were some things I was not aware of, and I want to talk about those things. But the question itself is certainly not something that I would ever imagine an evangelical Christian thinking. Because first of all, there's no place in the New Testament that ever talks about being sealed to a spouse for eternity, that marriages such as they are here on earth are not going to be the same in the hereafter, as many Mormons tend to believe. So I can't imagine an evangelical having that same kind of perplexing dilemma on their minds. But if you're a Latter-day Saint, I can see how this becomes a real problem, especially if you are involved in a relationship that is not working out and you think that the only solution is going to be a divorce. Now, first of all, let's say that we certainly do not like divorce. In fact, I hate it when I even hear of Mormon couples getting a divorce. Divorce is a horrible thing. It affects three generations of people, and they just cause all sorts of problems. And it's a sad day when a couple does have to go through such an awful situation. But this idea of being married or sealed for eternity is certainly unique to the religion of Mormonism. And so this question or this statement, as the title implies, I found to be very intriguing. And I want to look at this because it was written by a woman by the name of Rachel, and I think she pronounces her name Bruner. I could be wrong on that. She spells it B-R-U-N-E-R. She comes from six generations of Latter-day Saints. I'm reading from her bio. She has held various church callings, including missionary, relief society teacher, compassionate service leader, enrichment assistant, primary counselor, primary secretary, primary teacher, ward activity committee chairperson, relief society newsletter editor, and visiting teacher. Then it goes on to say she is a certified emotion code practitioner and energy healer. And I'll be quite honest, I haven't a clue what in the world that means. But anyway, that's her bio. She's a certified emotion code practitioner and energy healer. But the point is I would say that if you were to describe Miss Bruner, that she is what we would call a TBM. She's a true believing Mormon. She seems to be very active in her faith. She's held a lot of callings. So I'm going to assume right off the bat that she is faithful to her religion, and she's not going to be writing in any type of a critical way whatsoever. I think she's trying to merely put forth information that she believes to be true. And I verified some of the things that she has said from the church handbook, and she seems to be accurate on some of the things that I'm reading here.
Bill, earlier you had mentioned that eternal marriage is not something that's found in the Bible. And that's true for families being together forever. And a lot of Latter-day Saints bank on the idea that somehow, if they do all the right things, they go to the temple, they get sealed, et cetera, that they're going to be able to be with their families forever. We have an article on our website, mrm.org/familiesareforever, with hyphens in between there, that talks about the idea of families being together forever, not being a biblical idea. But isn't it interesting how so many different ideas in Mormonism don't come from Jesus, Paul, or the Bible itself? These are ideas that somehow pop up out of nowhere in the 19th and 20th centuries that Christians did not accept 2,000 years ago. So it's interesting that the church wants to be known as the restored church, that they brought back Christianity, and yet here we have doctrines that no early Christian would have ever believed.
As we were discussing when we were prepping for this show, that's what bothers me so much, and I made the comment to you, that I think if you were to ask me, what is the biggest lie of Mormonism? The biggest lie of Mormonism, I think it's exactly what you just brought up. The biggest lie of Mormonism is that it is a restoration of what Christians believed anciently or practiced anciently. And you make an excellent point, because we don't see, for instance, early Christians having to know all that we're going to talk about on this subject.
Right.
Because it's not in the New Testament. This is completely unique to Mormonism. The Church Handbook, if you were to ever read Church Handbook 1 or Church Handbook 2, of which we have copies, I go through that and I'm thinking, this is so complicated. It's written by lawyers, I'm sure, in many cases. And it's very complicated, talking about issues that the early church would have never even thought about. Never even thought about. Because it pertains to doctrines they never taught. They never practiced. So for a Mormon to insist that ours is restored Christianity, or we have the restored gospel, I don't know how to be anything but blunt about this, folks. That is the biggest lie ever perpetrated by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The rules and regulations also change. They're always in flux. In fact, we're reading from the 2010 edition of Handbook 1, and we're noticing, well, that's changed. Oh, that changed a couple of years ago. That changed last year. I just don't see the New Testament, well, here's how it was in 33 AD, and then all of a sudden in 40 AD, we've done things differently. No, certainly there was a change from the way that the law was, and Galatians talks about how the law was fulfilled, but you don't see constant flux going on throughout the early Christian church.
And it's interesting, because one of the accusations you hear many Latter-day Saints make against Christianity is they look at some of the heretical things that have taken place in Christian history, and we're not doubting that they were heretical. The fact that we call them heretical tells you that we know they were wrong, and Mormons will always point to that. Well, see, look at the changes here, there, and everywhere, and we go, yeah, but that doesn't mean it was considered orthodox. That doesn't mean it was considered the norm. But in Mormonism, it is the norm. So if anybody needs some fingers pointed at them, you would think it would be the LDS Church having fingers pointed at it for all the differences that it's had over the years, and the way they've had to backtrack and going from doctrine to policy and things like that. It's just, this is not Christianity. This is not historical Christianity. This is unique to Mormonism. And I really don't like when a Mormon tries to foster the idea that theirs is a restored Christianity.
Let's be honest, many of those changes that are made for pragmatic purposes. The first paragraph, although any LDS marriage sealed in a holy temple is intended to last for eternity, it sometimes does not. There is a process for having this covenant and its accompanying ordinance canceled. The process is governed entirely by church policy and procedure. With that said, it can change. It does change. The current policies and procedures can be found in Handbook 1. Unlike Handbook 2, Handbook 1 is not freely available online. It is only available to those currently serving in local church leadership positions. However, a few basic guidelines and generalizations exist.
Okay, let's go back and let's examine what she said here. Because, first of all, she says, unlike Handbook 2, Handbook 1 is not freely available online. I think that needs to be clarified. The church certainly has not posted Handbook 1 online. So you're not going to find it at, you know, www.churchofjesuschrist.org. which is now their official website. You're not going to find it there, but there no doubt have been people who have posted Handbook 1, and you can find it online. But that's neither here nor there. But the point is, notice the wording here, the process, and that is canceling this sealing ordinance, is governed entirely by church policy and procedure. And I think that's a good time to say, okay, so where do we find this in the New Testament? If this is really a restoration, where do we find anything like this in the early church? Was it necessary in the early church to have this kind of a policy and procedure? I would say no, because they didn't believe anything like this. This is, again, something that's entirely unique. But when she talks about a few basic guidelines and generalizations exist, then she says this in a subheading, and this is what threw me. And I have to admit, I was not aware of this, only because I learned about this from Mormons who use this expression, and so I merely copied what they were saying. But she says here, when she's talking about the cancellation of these sealing ordinances, she says it should not be called a temple divorce. Well, that's the way I always understood it to be. It was a divorce, but she says it's not a temple divorce. But let's talk about that, for instance. What is a divorce? If you look at the definition of divorce, you're going to find, depending on which dictionary you're looking at, for instance, it's going to say the action or an instance of legally dissolving a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wouldn't that apply to the cancellation of a temple sealing that's supposed to last for eternity? Because in Utah, that is a marriage ceremony. It's a sealing. It's part of the marriage ceremony. You're canceling that arrangement between the man and the woman. We understand that in a secular way to be a divorce. So why wouldn't you be able to use the word divorce? Here's what I think's going on here. I think once again, we're getting the old semantic game thrown at us. And so they would much rather you use the word cancellation. And I'll admit, when you look in the Church Handbook 1, in fact, I'm looking at page 20 right now, I see the word cancellation all throughout this page. It never says divorce. Okay, maybe a Mormon shouldn't call it a temple divorce, but I think to say it's not a temple divorce is perhaps stretching it a little bit, because it seems to still fall within the parameters of that definition. Tomorrow, we're going to continue this thought. It's an article titled, What to Do When You Do Not Want Your Spouse for Eternity. And as we mentioned, it's at learnreligions.com. It's an article written by a woman by the name of Rachel Bruner.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. As with most Christian organizations, Mormonism Research Ministry depends on the generous financial support of friends like you. If you like what we do and how we do it, would you consider helping MRM meet its financial obligations? Merely go to our website, mrm.org. At the right, you'll see a donate button. Click there and follow the instructions. MRM is a Christian nonprofit 501c3 organization, and your gifts are tax deductible. Not only that, they are greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support of this ministry.